The Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 13th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. First to Montana, where the Department of Environmental Quality wants to know what people there think about the state's next Environmental Policy Act and what it should include.
The DEQ's move is in response to a high-profile judge's decision earlier this year supporting young climate activists who claimed Montana's fossil fuels policy violates their constitutional right to a clean and healthy environment. Durf Johnson, deputy director of the Montana Environmental Information Center, says the state DEQ was ordered to get public comment as it drafts the state's environmental policy as a condition of the court case known as Held versus Montana.
A court decision that basically ordered the state of Montana to actually evaluate and consider climate change as part of its permitting process. A stable climate is part of that right to a clean and healthful environment that we're guaranteed here in Montana.
Johnson argues while public input is crucial, the state could be implementing key parts of the act now. And the public input process will delay enacting important parts of it. I'm Mark Moran.
Now from the Washington Post, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana won the House Republican Conference's nomination to become Speaker Wednesday. But 24 hours later, there is still no floor vote scheduled. The Post notes that Scalise suffers from the same problems that ousted Speaker Kevin McCarthy did. Only about half of Republicans voted for Scalise versus Jim Jordan. Meantime, over half of U.S. states have already banned life sentences without parole for juveniles. North Carolina is not among them.
In a panel discussion with the North Carolina Task Force for Racial Equity and Criminal Justice, Republican Representative John Hardister of Guilford County says he backs the need for a scientific approach to address the issues of youth development and criminal justice.
There needs to be retribution and punishment and so forth and justice when certain crimes are committed. But if the brain is not fully developed, I think we have to take that scientific fact into account.
Many advocates argue that a sentence without the possibility of hope or incentive for self-improvement for the young offender falls short. But critics of ending the threat of life sentences voice concerns about the impact on victims and public safety. Also on the panel, North Dakota GOP Senator Diane Larson highlights her state as an example of banning juvenile life without parole sentences. With unanimous approval of legislation in 2017, Larson says North Dakota has prioritized the role of the parole board and eliminated the possibility of life without parole.
We all think that people who commit terrible crimes should be held accountable. They should be answerable for their crimes. But there needs to be some opportunity for them to grow up.
Shantia Hudson reporting.
This is Public News Service. Next to Indiana, where the share of federal money to boost broadband access in underserved areas is almost $870 million. Our Terry D. has more.
The funding through the Broadband Equity Adoption and Development, or BEAD, program is expected by mid to late 2024. Purdue University's broadband team is working to make sure the money ends up where it's needed most. University Vice President of Engagement Roberto Gallardo says a Federal Communications Commission map will pinpoint the spots where broadband help is needed, and they are not just rural areas.
I've known anecdotally from urban counties that they still have pockets out of their incorporated cities that have issues with connectivity.
He says to make the map as accurate as possible, university students and alumni team members will assist by letting people know how to report their internet service information. The group will also conduct presentations, talk with community leaders and other stakeholders, and post information on social media about the program.
According to Connect Indiana, Carroll, Crawford, DuBois, Franklin, and Ripley have the highest percentage of underserved counties in the state. And listing dental care as the top unmet health care need in Florida, one group is helping folks share their stories and challenges in getting care.
This online forum features a collection of stories from around the state, including a Broward County woman who says she repeatedly got infections and was on antibiotics while pregnant because she couldn't afford dental care. Karen Bonsignori with the American Children's Campaign says her group and Floridians for Dental Access are using the stories to dive deeper into the data behind Florida's oral health problems.
There's a mother who has struggled for 10 years to get her children seen by a dentist. That is absolutely unacceptable.
I'm Tramell Gomes.
Finally, Shantia Hudson lets us know Arkansas is part of an international collaboration. It uses automated radio signals to track the migration of birds, bats, and insects.
It's called the MODIS Wildlife Tracking System, and one MODIS tower is on the property of the Little Rock Audubon Center. Dan Scheinman with Audubon Delta says researchers place radio tags on birds, and when they fly near the antenna, it picks up their signal. He says the data collected provides researchers with insight into migration patterns and behaviors.
A lot of our birds are declining. We've lost nearly 3 billion birds since 1970.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for ending your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.